QAnon is now the most prolific online conspiracy theory of the 21st century. None of their predictions came true, Q has vanished, and the storm never came. But QAnon is still alive. I'm Jake Hanrahan, and this is Series 2 of Q Clearance, a podcast shedding light on the ongoing QAnon conspiracy theory. This is a production of Coup d'Etat Media and iHeartRadio. Today we're going to be speaking about the confusing world of QAnon Japan. That's right, the Trump-centric US online conspiracy theory to end all conspiracy theories has managed to take root 7,000 miles away in Japan. Now, you might have seen Japan in the news recently due to the Olympics being hosted there and the protests that that has caused. Many people in Japan feel that the Olympics will essentially act as a super spreader event for COVID. Japan has had over 15,000 deaths from the virus, with almost 1 million cases in total. Hundreds of Japanese citizens have taken to the streets to air their concerns about the further spread that the Olympics could cause. However, a group of people in Japan, of course, not concerned about COVID are the Japanese QAnons. Like their American counterparts, they believe it's all a hoax and a quote, scamdemic. To get an idea of how the hell QAnon gained a solid following in Japan, we're going to be speaking to Sarah Hightower. You've probably heard of her, she's been on the podcast a few times and she helps with the research. Sarah is a researcher specializing in cults with an incredibly in-depth knowledge of Japanese cults. She's also one of the very best QAnon researchers out there, so as you can imagine, she is very well versed in QAnon Japan. She's going to explain how this all happened. So, Sarah, maybe just explain to us, how did QAnon manage to kind of make it infest its way into Japan? Obviously, it's a very America-centric thing, so it's kind of unusual. Maybe give us an idea, give us some kind of timeline of how this happened.
Yeah, people are still shocked when they hear the Japanese QAnon is just like a thing. But over on the Japanese internet, over on that side of things, there's been varying degrees of interest in QAnon since the earliest days of QAnon. Now, is QAnon America-centric? Yeah, absolutely. It's a cult of personality centered around this image of Donald Trump as an infallible god king. Yeah, so it's really stupid. And it is really American. But that's not all QAnon is. Yeah, pull back and look at the bigger picture. What else is QAnon? QAnon is an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory plucked straight out of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion.
If you don't know what Sarah is talking about there, the protocols of the elders of Zion, it is a hoaxed anti-Semitic text from the early 1900s. It originated in Russia and was eventually taught by the Nazi regime in schools as if it were real, of course to demonize the Jewish people. Many parts of the QAnon conspiracy theory are very similar to the protocols of the Elders of Zion. They don't always name Jews directly, however the ideas are often the same.
And the protocols and these anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, they've also taken hold at various points throughout Japanese history. But I think you wanted a timeline, so let's do that first. So by the time 2018 rolls around over here, 4chan has already chased QAnon off the site, and QAnon made their home over on 8chan. Now, the Japanese counterpart to 4chan at this time, it's not 2-channel anymore, it's 5-channel now.
You'll remember from Series 1 that QAnon first gained prominence on the Chan boards. 2-channel, 5-channel, these are very similar things, although most of them are just text, and they exist mostly for the Japanese audience. Whilst all of this QAnon stuff was happening on 4chan and 8chan and then 8kun, a lot of it actually started appearing on the 2-channel and 5-channel boards in Japan as well. I know it's complicated, but there's a big mess where all of this started, and it all points to the Chan boards, both in America and apparently in Japan.
Now, outside of the Chanosphere, over on the Japanese internet, you have the blogosphere, because blogs are still a really huge deal in Japan. You have these blogs that are more in touch with, like, conspiracy theory subculture, with the people who are just really, really way too into it, honestly.
So, as Sarah said, blogging is still a very big thing in Japan. As QAnon began to gain traction on the Chan boards, Japanese conspiracy theory bloggers transferred that information onto their blogs. The blogs spread like wildfire, they got a lot of pings, and eventually some of Japan's many so-called new religious movements began to take notice. In short, some cults in Japan began posting about QAnon quite early on.
They were blogs that were owned and operated by people who were, you know, either running cults or were affiliated with cultic movements. There was one in particular, is a New Age wellness cult that's run out of Hiroshima, and they have three blogs, and one in Japanese, like two in English. And they're already selling you prophecy shit. They also have paywalled conspiracy theory newsletters with prophecies, end times bullshit. They're just throwing it all together. These are like some of the original pioneers of like spreading QAnon, but also showing how QAnon could be adapted over here on the Japanese internet for their domestic audience.
So basically, when QAnon came out, it was very similar to what some of these cults in Japan believe in already. Doomsday prophecies, all different ideas and conspiracy theories fling together to project one kind of idea that this specific cult adheres to. Sounds a lot like QAnon, right? So instead of going against QAnon, some of these cults, as Sarah mentioned, just picked it up and ran with it and said, yeah, this is something we believe in as well. It took a while, but over the years, QAnon conspiracy theories started to gain traction in Japan because of these people that were translating them and putting them out on their blogs.
So let's go to 2019 now. 2019, the people who are translating QAnon stuff into Japanese, they're starting to get some actual traction. And the biggest one is Eri. Eri's translating all of the Q drops. She's translating QMap.pub, and she's doing it as professional quality.
So this person, Eri, that Sarah is talking about, she starts translating QAnon texts into Japanese very professionally. They're well done. Everybody can understand them. This gives Eri some credibility within the global QAnon movement. And before you know it, she is then promoted by the regular US QAnon crowd. QAnon HQ, QAnon General Command, whatever, the main group of people that have helped spread this all over the world. So then Eri is getting promoted by them, the circle is complete, the networks are made, and QAnon starts to grow larger in Japan.
So this little movement starts to kind of coalesce around Eri's propaganda output. Eri's little movement would become Q Army Japan Flynn.
That's right, she said Q Army Japan Flynn. This is in regards to Mike Flynn. Mike Flynn being one of the biggest QAnon proponents in the US, probably in the whole world. If you remember, Mike Flynn is a retired US Army Lieutenant General who became the 25th US National Security Advisor for Trump before he was sacked after 22 days for lying about his connections to Russia. Q Army Japan Flynn was one of the first properly organized QAnon groups to foment a following in Japan. Obviously, they have this big allegiance to Mike Flynn, who many in the US QAnon scene also have an allegiance to. They call him the General. You know how it goes. Coincidentally, or maybe not, Mike Flynn was following several QAnon Japan accounts on Twitter before he was banned from the platform. One of the other QAnon groups in Japan, as if this wasn't complicated enough, became known as JAnon.
JAnon is a more mainstream-friendly looser collective of standard nationalists who buy into a lot of stupid conspiracy theory stuff, but they aren't balls to the wall insane repping Mike Flynn and saying that the Emperor was like murdered and replaced with shadow clones in the 1800s and that there hasn't been a genuine emperor since then.
So what's interesting here about what Sarah just said is that QAnon Japan at first took on the regular US QAnon ideas and conspiracy theories, but as you just heard, it later began to foment its own region-specific conspiracies. Take, for example, QAnon's belief that Joe Biden is a body double and that he actually died some time ago. As Sarah just said, some of the Japanese QAnons are incorporating a very similar conspiracy theory into their own mythos, but they're drawing it from their own culture. Essentially, QAnon is the framework, but the followers are creating their own lore. It sounds to me as if QAnon Japan is a successful QAnon franchise. What's more, JAnon was formed within an amalgamation of several different well-organized cults in Japan.
JAnon is organized by offshoots of the Unification Church that carry around guns, the Gun Moonies, Standard Unification Church, Happy Science, Happiness Realization Party offshoots, and Falun Gong.
All of those groups mentioned, as I said, are fairly powerful cults in Japan, or New Age religious movements, as they like to be called. So, QAnon Japan is still spreading, it's got the backing of influential cults, and it feeds off of QAnon US to then form its own theories locally. So, should people in Japan be worried about QAnon Japan? Well, it depends, as the number of people actually involved in it is kind of unknown. Sarah explains.
I think in a recent interview, Ari from a, Q Army Japan Flynn, and she said they had around like 500 members, which means they have like 500 members who have signed up to be like an actual member, and they have been vetted and granted actual like membership status into an actual group. And they meet up at each other's houses and pass out propaganda at train stations.
Now you might hear that and think, oh, okay, well, 500, there's millions of people in Japan, that's not such a big deal. But just think about what Sarah said. That's not just 500 people that are vaguely interested or are reposting the stuff that Aerie puts out. That is 500 people that have signed up as startup members of Q Army Japan Flynn. That's a very big movement that is connected, has very specific goals, and they all go out onto the street and spread the propaganda, meet up at people's houses, talk about this stuff. That isn't just an internet movement anymore. That is 500 people who sound highly motivated by a deeply worrying conspiracy theory that has already had dire consequences, as we saw with the Capitol building storming in January of this year. Now, hopefully Aerie is lying and there isn't 500 members, but either way, Q Army Japan Flynn is actually, by the sounds of it, pretty well organized.
And that's just one faction. And you got, the JAnon that we discussed. The more MAGA-oriented, it's still, really not good shit. I don't really know how many you got there. But what I do know, though, is that, it doesn't really matter. Because we know it's there and we're seeing it. We know there's a QAnon presence here. We know that the cult is here and it is a destructive cult.
Destructive cults in Japan have a serious history. Take, for example, Aum Shinrikyo, the doomsday cult responsible for the country's largest domestic terror attack. In 1995, members of Aum Shinrikyo released sarin nerve gas onto the subways of Tokyo. They killed 14 people in this attack and caused several thousand more serious injury. They did this as a means to bring about some kind of apocalyptic scenario in Japan, when they believed only Aum members would survive. What's interesting about Aum Shinrikyo is that they had many, many members, they had hundreds of millions in cash, and they went on to form a global movement. Their ideology, much like QAnon, tore families apart and ruined relationships.
QAnon is a destructive cult in the sense that it causes lasting psychological and emotional damage to anyone who gets drawn in. It's a destructive cult in the sense that it's tearing families apart. And it's a destructive cult in the sense that, as we've seen, demonstrated multiple occasions, there's a propensity for radicalization and violence. How concerned should we be about QAnon Japan? I'm not going to sit here and say I think they could be the next Ohm. I can say that they are similar to Ohm, and I can say that they're a destructive cult in all of the ways that Ohm was. But I also don't think that you have to have, you know, multiple murders and terrorist attacks on your hand to then be taken seriously. I think people should be concerned because there is a cult that's actively recruiting and hurting people.
So, that is QAnon Japan. Born from the radical ideas of the more conventional US QAnon crowd, the QAnon Japan crowd seems to have started franchising itself into more radical groups, and some are even organizing with proper membership lists and activities for the other QAnons to do. Now, I just want to say, hopefully me and Sarah are wrong. Hopefully the comparisons to Aum Shinrikyo are completely baseless. However, I think it is very much worth mentioning such things in the context of a cult building up building steam in Japan, and one that specifically calls for violence against people that don't believe the same things that they do. Hopefully none of this ever turns violent. To get an idea of how badly QAnon has begun hurting people, hurting families all over the world, next week we're going to hear firsthand from someone who helps families affected by QAnon. In one case, the results of the QAnon ideology was potentially deadly. QClearance is brought to you by iHeartRadio and Coup d'Etat Media. I'm Jake Hanrahan. You can find me online at Jake_Hanrahan. That's HANRAHAN. You can get QClearance merch at darkwash.net. This episode was produced by myself, with fact-checking and additional research by Sarah Hightower. The music is by Sam Black, and the sound was mixed by Thomas Griffin at Splicing Block.